Welcome to Politics Done Right. My name is Egberto Willis, your host. Good morning, Houston. Good morning, Harris County. Good morning to the great state of Texas.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
And of course, good morning to the United States of America. Good morning to every nook and cranny receiving our signals via our 100,000 watt transmitter, whether that be Northeast Texas, Southeast Texas, Northwest Louisiana, Southwest Louisiana. How are my peeps doing? We're doing great. Of course, good morning to the world as our internet, the tentacles of our internet reaches all over. And we do get people from all over the world. Good morning to the geniuses in the studio. How are you doing this morning, guys?
And good morning to Perth, Australia. Why the heck not?
Why the heck not?
Yeah, we can hear our fan back here. We want to do a fundraiser for an air conditioner for the control room. That would be nice. Speaking of fundraising, it's up here starting Thursday. So, folks, we're going to be asking you again for support for your favorite radio station, 713-526-5738. Extension 1 to make a donation. Get ahead of the crowd because we're just going to be having money pouring in. Right, Jack?
Yes, yes. Money pouring right in.
Mm-hmm, and money pouring right out, too. We got to pay Jack because he's worth about $1 million a year. We couldn't operate this radio station without Jack. We just couldn't do it.
Okay, don't turn me red this morning.
Oh, he's all embarrassed.
Let's turn him red. We just love us some Jack.
Well, he's got a red shirt on, so he's pretty much red already. But, oh, he's blushing now. My goodness. It's only the truth. It's only the truth.
Well, I didn't live growing up with the truth very much, so it's very nice to have that happen and somebody praise me like that. It's humbling.
Well, I praise him every day. You know, I'm telling you, you're very valuable to us. You do a lot of things around here that frankly need to be done, and I'm too lazy to do. So that's what happens, Jack. You got a lazy old man here. So you got to pick up my slack, man.
Yeah.
All right. What you got there? You got a whole page full.
Good morning, Egberto. How are you?
Good morning, sir. How you doing this morning, my brother?
You know, I see this bumper sticker from time to time. Government is not the solution to our problems. Government is the problem, which to me, that is not a very true statement at all. The problem is a corporate military-industrial complex takeover of government via a corrupted, out-of-balance Supreme Court that legalized the purchasing of politicians called Citizens United. And the other two decisions that asserts a corporation is the same as a person and money equals free speech. These decisions means the people are out-capitalized.
Well, wouldn't that be government being the problem being bought?
Well, they allowed it to happen, and they're soaking up the dark money all over the place and compromising the people's lives in the balance of that.
Yeah, they sold out. Well, it's all for sale. Everybody has their price, I suppose.
I suppose.
Well, all right.
And we can stop that. And, you know, Jack, your entry it makes a good case for the interview that I'm going to be playing today. It's about a 10-minute interview, and it's a good one with our new, and notice what I said, our new state senator from Senate District 15. This is a woman that is great. Her name is Molly Cook. She's a nurse. She's a millennial. She's vibrant. She goes out there and earns her vote. She's been on Capitol Hill. So, I mean, there's a whole lot of stuff about this. And why I brought that up is When you said that that bumper sticker, it came actually came from Reagan. Reagan said, "Government is not the solution; government is the problem." What that, you know, all the cues that we get in our society that starts out from our plutocracy, whether that's been given to Reagan by those people who wrote the Powell memo or following the guidance of. It's amazing because when think about what you say, whenever you say the government is not the solution, government is the problem. But what is government? Government is we, the people. So inherently, these people at the top are telling you that the problem is we, the people. And that's what a lot of people don't understand, right? When these guys started with all these memes, with all these phrases to let you hate government, government, government this, government that, right? It was a calculated effort by these documents that were written by these conservative foundations. And the idea is this. Government is we, the people. We all create government. We decide who is going to serve us, etc. So we are the ones who put them there. Now, we are that a piece of that. When somebody starts to tell you government is a problem or government this or government this, they are neutering you. They're telling you, you don't have the power. When they say we need to turn this over to the private sector, whenever you hear somebody talking like that, it means they want you to turn it over to the autocrat. Who is the private sector and who does the private sector? I'm not talking about free enterprise that all of us can do our own businesses, etc. When they say turn it over, they mean turn it over to that same person you were talking about. They're Jack, corporate personhood, right? Remember what these guys did. The corporations have become a person. And that's not figuratively. That's literally. A corporation has an existence as a human being in our society. When you sue a corporation, you don't sue the president and the vice president and the different people in the corporation. So a corporation can effectively do wrong by its board of directors, etc. And who gets sued? The corporations. And that theology has been used for a whole lot of stuff. People going in and raiding the economies out of corporations and let that corporation go bankrupt. So you steal from the corporation. You ever heard of Bain's Capital? The thing that Mitt Romney used to run? What did they do? They raid corporations. And after they raid it, that individual entity gets to claim bankruptcy and stiff all the people that they owe. And the person who robbed that corporation is scotch-free because the one who robbed them was the corporations. And all we did was get the spoils of what that corporation got for us. It's a little bit complicated. That's one of the things that we try to do here. But I want everybody to understand this. The calculation, as Jack was talking about, was put into existence by the Powell memo and all these, actually it's before that, but the Powell memo kind of put it all together as how do we maintain that? How do we maintain that people isolate themselves from government and somehow buy into the fallacy that an individual corporation, the private sector, who has no democracy, can somehow do better for you or have your better interest at hand over the interests of those who invest in that corporation. Again, people, understand this. Yesterday, I spoke about when Donald called in, I spoke about an article that I'm writing about the fraud that is our economic system. And I haven't had the time to sit down and spend the amount of time necessary to do it in the right way, because what I come out with, you guys have to pick it up and corroborate what I'm saying to say, okay, Egberto is not full of crap. Everything that he says here, I can actually see. Because you see, they rob us in plain sight because they've already trained us to be robbed. They already trained us to be taken advantage of. Whenever you say government is not the problem, government is not the solution, it's the problem. They have already taken away your pride. They have already told you that, wait a minute, you are too dumb to have government. So therefore, it is we, those people who have, as Jack said, capital, the defense industrial complex, the healthcare industrial complex, the drug industrial complex, the hospital industrial complex, all these private sector entities that rip you off. You go to get an x-ray and it costs $1,000. Well, if you may not pay, but your HMO does. That's those people out there that claim they are the solution. Remember that. Remember, we, the people, we can choose to do better. We ourselves can say we are going to elect people who are going to serve us. And that's the interview that I have. But since Harry is on, I'm going to let Harry say his piece. Then I'm going to go to the interview. Come on in, Harry.
Good morning once again, Liberto. Good morning to Jack and good morning to Howard. You guys just fill this Politics Done Right with a lot of wisdom and knowledge, and you get people thinking, like I always say constantly on the show. But anyway, that government is the problem. It was the start of neoliberalism is what it was. And I remember when I first heard about Randy Rhodes and heard about Stephanie Miller, and I used to listen to them on Air America. They talked about how young and dumb they were. They were fooled and duped by that. And I think one of the mistakes that President Jimmy Carter made is he didn't. I remember him saying at the time when he was running against Reagan, is he said, "Well, the American people will see through Ronald Reagan, what he's talking about, and they're smarter than that." And I just think what Jimmy Carter should have done is what Ross Perot did in later years, and he should have, when he ran in '92, he should have had charts and he should have mapped out what the Republicans were trying to do at that time with the Republican Revolution. He should have said, look, what Ronald Reagan is trying to do, because he grew up when the New Deal came into being, when Franklin Delano Roosevelt became president, and what that government is the problem is about is destroying the New Deal. And I've heard Jack and Howard say this, which the Republicans are still trying to do, take away your Social Security. They want to privatize that. They want to get rid of food stamps, things like that. All these social programs that the New Deal had, and they want to get rid of, as you've spoken on this show many times, Eberto, about Medicare, government-sponsored Medicare, and how they eventually got this Medicare, as Jack Van Dever puts it, take advantage. They want everything privatized. Again, and as Jack has mentioned on this program, privatize the profits and socialize the costs. That's what all that's about.
Harry, you nailed it, Harry. Harry, wrap it up for me because I want to get to this video.
Okay, I wanted to mention one other thing about what Ray was talking about yesterday with Bill Maher and how he's moved more to the right on real time. I thought about this too. He's also afraid. Bill Maher is also afraid of people like Congresswoman Elisa Stefanik, who is Jewish and who was successful in getting rid of, or I shouldn't say getting rid of, but getting her to step down at Harvard, Claudine Gay. Because she was on the side of the Judean / Palestinian people, and people who would speak up at that college against what Netanyahu's doing with his genocide over there, and the United States being complicit in giving those weapons. And I think Bill Maher is afraid of that, and that's why he will not just say, look, this is wrong, and they need to, and the United States needs to call for permanent ceasefire.
Got you, Harry. Got your point. Okay. Got your point. Got to go to Mike. I really need to get this interview up. Thank you, my brother. Thank you, brother. Let's go to Mike real quick. Come on in, Mike.
Good morning.
Good morning, sir.
I was calling about something you raised about government. It's not the government that's the problem. It's the people running the government.
Mike, I can't understand you. Can you go ahead and put your mouth closer to the phone or something? Because you're kind of gobbled. But come on in, my brother.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, go ahead. Let's see if we can do it.
Okay. I have my headset on. But my comment is about government. Government, it's not that the government is the problem. It's the people running the government.
Okay, that's but the ones who put the people who hire the bureaucracy, it's us. And what I'm trying to tell people is whenever somebody says government is the problem, and that implies that we are the problem. And what I'm saying is then that demoralizes the research and all of that people go into to elect the people that they elect. I'm going to give a good example after the interview that I'm going to play here, but you're correct in that the people doing wrong, but you know what? We have the power to put and remove those people. What we don't have the power of is to put and remove the president of Shell. We don't have the power to put and remove the president of ADM. The private corporations are autocracies. The government is we the people, and it's we the people who should control the corporations. For those who've learned the existence of corporations, they were charters created by we the people, government, to do a task. They have grown up to take over government because, again, too often our eyes were closed. Anything else, Mike, before I jump to Johnny and then my video?
Yes. One other comment about the government. You've been well. They try to use the government as a tool. What is the tool that they use to enact all the laws, to repeal the laws that we do have established? The government. The government is the tool that they use, and we've been convinced that that's not the tool we should use. That is the exact same tool that we should use, the government. But we need to put the right people in place in the government.
You nailed it. And that's what this interview is going to be about. You nailed it, brother. It's we who put the right people there. What they've done, brother Mike, is the following: they've made us effectively dumb. That we believe that they say things like we don't need a lot of information, or that you know, if you're explaining, you're losing. They put all these kind of thoughts in our mind. If you are explaining, you're losing. Think about that. If you're teaching somebody something, you are losing. That's what they tell politicians. If you are explaining, you're losing. They have programmed us to be stupid. And it's not the government did that. It's the plutocracy doing that. And then we then elect the stooges of the plutocracy. That's why we are here, Brother Mike, to fix that problem. But thank you so kindly for calling in. And keep listening. Keep calling, sir.
All right.
All right, Johnny, come on in.
I hope you can hear me okay, Alberto.
Yes, my brother, yes.
I think you and Mike just fine-tuned what I was about to do. You have to fine-tune overall what the real problem is. It's never been government. It's always been and always will be the American corporate industrial oligarchs who only care about their business interests. And to that end, they think they are entitled to control everything, not pay for anything. And to that end, what they do is they subvert government process. They find American citizens who want to run for office, and they bribe the crap out of them, and they dumb American education down. So when the American people are not properly educated through formal studies and through the media, guess what? They're vulnerable to attack by the corporate oligarchy and unfettered, unregulated, mercenary-style capitalism. We have to address education. We have to regulate. We have to break apart, monopolize the media, and we need to find out who all these oligarchs are and put the spotlight on them and put government back in the hands where it's supposed to be, in educated people.
You got it. You nailed it. I mean, I've got the smartest callers on the planet, point blank. Thank you, my brother, Johnny. Mayor of politics done right. Thank you. Let's go to Donald, and then maybe I'll get to go to my interview. Come on in, Donald.
Okay, good morning, Alberto. So if
good
you want
morning,
to change
my brother.
Things, you got to shake it up.
Yes.
If you want to change things, you got to shake it up. So why don't you call Trump right now and see if I can be his VP, and I will take you with me every morning, and we'll get some stuff taken care of.
I love your idea, Donald, except that I don't want Trump as the president. I'll take Donald as the president and whoever you so choose as vice president, okay?
I don't want to be president.
Hey. Well, then find somebody. Donald, then find somebody that you want to be your president and you the vice president of, because
we don't have
Trump,
a choice now, but we will have a choice if we change it. But we keep doing the same thing. Right
but
now,
answer,
you
know,
are the people.
Yes. Donald, listen to me, Donald. Listen to me.
Listen. Still keep it the same thing.
Donald, listen to your big brother now, Donald. Listen to your big brother. The answer, however, isn't Trump isn't a change. Trump is Trump is the instantiation of capitalism and unfettered corrupt capitalism. That is Trump. When he goes to his rich people and say, hey, when I get there, don't worry, you'll be taken care of, meaning even more tax cuts. I had a very smart person in my show yesterday at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, the chat, and he came out and he said, do you realize if we didn't have the Trump tax cut and one of the Bush tax cuts, the budget would be balanced? And I said, of course, I know that, because remember, Clinton was the first person to balance the budget. And that's because we finally got taxes set to the right degree. But that's for another day. Donald, I want to play my tape. Love you, brother, but I got to go play the interview, okay?
All right. Later.
We'll talk. All right, folks. Let me play the interview, then I'll talk a little bit more about it after the interview. So let's go ahead and get busy, because this is, in my humble opinion, the template. Welcome to another edition of Politics Done Right. Today, we are honored to have the newly elected state senator for District 15. All right, folks, I made a mistake once again. I didn't, as I set this particular one up, I didn't do a special connection that I need to do. So as I'm speaking here, I am setting that connection up so that you can actually hear the interview and not only me hear the interview. So, okay, let's go ahead and try that again. Welcome to another edition of Politics Done Right. Today, we are honored to have the newly elected state senator for District 15. Molly Cook. Molly Cook is a nurse. Molly Cook is an activist. Molly Cook is somebody who has engaged her community and did politics the way politics should be done. Welcome to Politics Done Right. Molly Cook, how are you doing this afternoon?
We're doing just great. Thank you so much for asking. Thanks for having me on.
Well, let me tell you, as soon as I checked that race and I saw that you were winning the race in a landslide, it kind of made me pretty happy. And the reason why is that you beat the machine. How did you do that?
Well, it's been a long road of really hard work and showing up over and over again, authentically, bringing home wins, even as a volunteer organizer, and just knocking a ton of doors and raising and spending a lot of money in the district.
You know, but I tell you what, Molly, a lot of people would give that answer. Okay. It has to be a bit more than that. That's a political answer. Let me suggest something to you. I have not seen a candidate crowdsource as you had. You crowdsourced your campaign and you made people be a part of that campaign, and you had people all over showing that they had skin in the game. Let's get that answer in. Let's get that as you did it, because I think it is a pattern that other
people running from the grassroots in the progressive space need to do?
Yeah, I mean, I think it sounds like a political answer, but it honestly is quite just exactly the truth. You know, of course, we raised a lot of money from a lot of people, but I think it's because they want to see a bedside nurse in the Capitol. And I think it's because they want to see someone who is young and honest and authentic and means everything that they say going to the Capitol to fight for them. And none of it, there's just never a shortcut. It's always hard work. And crowdsourcing by already being a part of the organizing community was really valuable. I think having put in a lot of work on the front end for the type of wins that the movement organizing community wants to see was, of course, just how I even ran in 22, right? And so having that kind of support and those kind of connections early on were important. But then you also have to spend hours and hours and hours on the phone with people explaining, here's who I am, here's the vision that I've been shaping with people at the doors for over 2 years now. Are you willing to invest in it and ask really honestly? And so I think it's a combination of having shown up and asked for nothing for a really long time. And then when it's time for ask for something, to have something to give back.
That's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about. Now, additionally, I recall looking at your Twitter feed and watching you making trips to Austin, watching you bringing the case to Austin, watching you engage on the floor and engage on the people. There are many people who want to run for an office because they want to run for an office. You don't always have people that go out there and do the footwork that it takes to be really not just to. There's community organizing, and then there's turning that into the politics of getting things done. And I think that is what I've seen you do very well thus far. Now, tell the audience what you intend to do. Now you're one of 30, how many senators?
31.
One of 31 senators. How are you going? You have a mission. First of all, tell us what your mission is.
So the mission day one right now is solidify this win by winning again on the 28th. Mm-hmm. That is the number one priority for me and for the campaign. And that has to be what we're focused on. That being said, there are interim charges out there. There's work to be done. There's work with the party to be done. There's lots of connections to begin building and working on. And we need to start getting ready for legislation to be filed day one. So I'm going to do a little bit of this straddling the currently elected and the still running role for the next 22 days. Mm-hmm. And then as soon as we win on the 28th, then we can really lean in and get started on the priorities of the district.
Now, the 28th is going to be, the difficulty is that you have to bring people back out again. It is crazy the way we have all these different elections that are occurring, and now you have to bring them out again for yet the same two people running for the office, which, given the magnitude of your win, I think the electorate is actually, you've actually presented to the electorate a vision that they want to see. So I don't foresee there being a problem there. But still, work has to be done to get people out to the polls. You are a nurse. You are in the middle of the beast. Many of us understand how we have a failed healthcare system. What are you going to, can you take your expertise there? And let's say starting from letting the Senate understand we need some sort of an expansion to the Medicaid expansion that's already there for us, that we're already paying for it. Is that going to be one of the things you work on?
Absolutely. Medicaid expansion is the number one priority that will have a direct impact on people's health and safety across the entire state. So that is a huge priority. And it's also a priority of pretty diverse coalition of folks who are included into healthcare. So it's, you know, it's a priority of Tex Pack and several other of the House and Senate members. So I'm really excited to hopefully be able to lend a little more expertise and energy to that.
It seems to me that even though, let's say the Republican side of the aisle, which is pretty large in Texas, has an issue with Medicare expansion, it seems to me like from being a nurse, you can actually show to these folks, your hospitals are closing. How can we work together to come up with a plan to get this done? Is that on your radar? And do you have contacts within the rural areas that are getting hurt the most?
We'll find out about what exactly the landscape looks like, but I think that you're hitting the nail on the head, and it's going to be really important to reach the people. And that's right. What I want to bring is that grassroots approach. I understand that the person maybe sitting in that seat is opposed to Medicaid expansion, but does their district really understand what this means for all of us and that we're leaving billions of dollars on the table for a variety of perhaps motivations? And do people understand that? And can we find a way to communicate that to people to reach them with the good news that we can expand Medicaid in the state, we can save lives, we can reopen rural hospitals, we can attract physicians to rural communities or low-income communities, et cetera. So that is going to be a number one priority day one. And on May 28th, I can't wait to start making those calls.
Two questions left. And the first one is, and this one is on the healthcare subject again. What I find with many progressives, many folks are out there is that I don't think they sufficiently engage that side that you just spoke about to talk to the people and let them be an advocate and put your face out there as far as this is what we need. I don't see that a lot. Is that something that we're going to get out of you? Are you going to go into Timbuktu as you're doing? I know you have your district, but are you going to go out there and really fish for these people?
I think that a lot of people would say that the divisiveness right now is a problem, no matter mm-hmm. which side of the aisle you're on, no matter how you vote, no matter where you're at in the state. And I see grassroots organizing as a way to really bridge that gap. And a lot of the time when we don't see change starting from the top, we can bring about change starting from the bottom. And so I'm fully confident and really excited to start reaching out statewide to people and finding out, you know, who's in favor of these policies and who wants to be a part of the machine that we're going to use to get some movement on these.
Last question. What would you have liked me to ask you that I didn't?
I think just reminding people that we've got to get back out and vote again in the runoff to solidify this win and make sure that we really do get a nurse and a community organizer in that seat for the next full term so that we can really dig in and get to work. So, you know, find us at Molly for Texas on social media, mollyfortexas.com, make a donation. Help us get out there and knock on doors. We, just to share, we knocked on 23,000 doors since the primary just for the special election and made 32,000 attempts overall. So we will need help again reaching people by phone and at the doors. And I'm so excited to win on the 28th and to begin serving this district.
Newly elected State Senator Molly Cook, District 15. It's been my honor to speak to you. And I can't tell you how proud we are of what you've attained.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Egberto. Really appreciate you.
All right, let me tell you a little bit about that. Remember, we just got a new mayor, Mayor Whitmire. Whitmire has been I think Whitmire held that SD15 seat, the Senate District 15 seat, since 80 something, if I get it correct. He's been in the Senate a long time, good old boy, all that good stuff. Well, he got elected. Good old boy, mayor of Houston. Personally, I think we don't need good old boys in office anymore. We need people like you see me bring Daniel to the fold, and you see me bring a lot of other progressives into this. We need young, youthful people that really want to engage as government, we the people. I've been attracted to what Molly Cook's been doing from the time she ran in, I think it was 22. And the reason why, she's a nurse and she went out there and she walked the floors, everything. And now she actually made a change of who is going to run that district that Whitmire controlled for decades. It's a change. When we talk about those who make a change in our system, we're talking about not the old fogies, and I don't mean to be insulting, but it's time for new blood. For all practical purposes, a lot of the older folks have gotten stale and made their beds with the corporate entities that you heard Jack speak about. It is time for us to have unaffiliated people that come into the fold and really start remembering who they are there to serve, not the corporate folks. They will always, the corporate folks are served if the people are served. But if the people are not served, it doesn't mean the corporation doesn't get served. So it's important for us to realize it's always the people first. If the people are first, it migrates itself to everything else in society. But if you have the people with capital first, what happens is you get autocracy. You get people that works. We've lived in a soft autocracy for a long time. Right now, Biden is talking about vote for me because Trump is going to be autocratic. What he really means is Trump is going to be much more autocratic than what we have right now. What we really need is democracy, a social democracy. That is how things occur. A good social democracy with strong, free enterprise. You can have your business. I mean, look, that is what we're talking about. And that is who we need to elect in from the state, from the county to the state house to the federal house. Government is not the problem. The oligarchy is the problem because they look out not for you first. They look out for everything else first, for themselves first. 28, I'm giving you the wrong number. I have two different numbers, one in the afternoons and one in the mornings. So I got to remember and not conflate them. 713-526-5738. Again, that number is 713-526-5738. I am taking calls now. I have another video, but you take precedence. Johnny, the mayor of Houston, come on in again.
Hey, sir, I trust you can still hear me okay?
Yes, sir.
Okay, I'm not one to throw the baby out with the bathwater, so let's refine what you just said. How about we support people who are in their early 20s who have just completed their formal education, who hold progressive values, who have a unapologetic aggressive posture, and who use consultants like me who are also progressive and unapologetic, people who can advise them for free. Or on salary, or both. Let's not get rid of the people my age who have all these ideas and policies that they hold, because together, that's an unstoppable force. Let me stop you right there.
You're absolutely right. Let me stop you right there. Sometimes when I talk sometimes in some absolutist term, it may sound that way. Look, we need the wisdom of the older folks. I consider myself the older folk, and I think I'm in, not I think, I mean, a lot of these young progressives that are out there, they will come for advice, etc. So you are absolutely right, Brother Johnny. To us old people, we have a lot to offer to the young people who we want to run the system, who we want to serve. Like I told several of these young millennials before, I am ready to serve you. All right. You're right, Johnny. No doubt.
And we need to watch their back for them. Somebody has to watch their back.
Exactly.
Us. Right.
Exactly. You got it. You nailed it, Johnny. Thank you, brother. Anything else before I go to Augie? Oops, you're gone. All right, Augie, come on in, my brother.
Good morning. Oh, like Howard has rants every once in a while. The Sunday paper in the Chronicle, they had a big section about Nurses Day, and they had Memorial Hospital in St. Luke's having one-page ads. And I thought, man, how hypocritical. These are for-profit hospitals. When they became for-profit hospitals, one of the first things is they got rid of the RNs. And I thought, well, man, what hypocrisy we got there. And then I was thinking about what the callers were calling in about Citizens United. Then you talk about your progressive ideas, but how are we going to get these progressive ideas done? The only way we're going to get it done is get rid of Citizens United, because it's not an even side. The other side has all this money, a lot more than we do. And I remember one time when Harry was complaining, I think it was Harry, complaining about all these flyers we got in the mail for the Republicans and all the commercials we got. But he was pinpointing what the problem was. But he didn't see it. He had eyes, but he didn't see it. And he had a brain, but he didn't register in his brain. It's right there. It's money that is backing these campaigns. And it's dark money. It's corporate money. And So we
okay,
need to,
can I say one thing, which is, I think, is important. And I think I want to use Molly and I want to use Bernie as examples, right? Bernie, it is, and I agree. First of all, I agree that we need to get rid of Citizens United. And I agree we have to come up with the 28th Amendment that we've had so far. I worked with Move to Amend for the 28th Amendment. Money is not speech and corporations are not people. That's what that amendment is all about. But also, I think we have to change a paradigm. And I think Bernie did a good job in changing the paradigm in the way he crowdsourced and raised money. And while he wasn't successful on the national level, he launched people like Molly and others who raised good money crowdsourcing. In other words, you just mentioned a corporation may give somebody $100,000, right? And that's one corporation's, and they'll flood the market with media and all that good stuff. Or in these local elections, like we have for state house, for senator, Congress, etc., can do what Molly did. And for those of you who don't know, you should go to her site on Facebook, Molly for Texas, and Twitter, and see the kind of activity and crowdsourcing that she did by having a posse of supporters that went like tentacles throughout the district and became the advocates for change and got the change. And it wasn't a close election that got the change. Now, she got to do it on the 28th again because she's only fulfilling the term for Whitmire. But after that, she has to run again for the four-year term. And the four-year term is going to be elected on the 28th. So I agree with you, but we have to be part of the answer. All of us, we have to be part of the answer. Continue, please, Augie.
Right. Yeah, and I know a couple of Molly Cook supporters who are really strong, and they're the one that got me interested in Molly Cook, and they're from Argentina.
But wow.
But this all problem happened when Eisenhower was president. To be elected to Congress and the Senate, it wasn't for a for-profit motive. It was to serve the country. But
right.
Then Eisenhower was elected, and the senators went to Truman. They asked him, hey, you need to get a retirement plan and all that. He says, I don't need a retirement plan. I'm okay. And you don't have to call me President Truman anymore. I'm a citizen. I'm proud to be an American. And Mr. Truman is a great name for me. I'm an American citizen. But then after that, the senators and the congressmen started getting their benefits and were able to keep voting for raises for themselves. They're the only group in the United States that can keep voting raises for themselves and increasing their benefits. But somehow people don't know the history about all this. And
right.
If you know your history, you're going to repeat it over and over again. But,
there you go. Thank you.
That's what brings it out. And thanks for you and Howard and Jack.
Thank you, Augie, for the, and by the way, every time you call, I will remind people, Augie is a great supporter of this station. And starting on Thursday, we are going to be back in fund drive mode. Of course, you know, I'm going to bring you a program every single day of fund drive. So I'm going to be asking you guys to contribute early so we can get on with the program. But we need my program. I'd like to raise for, I think we're going to be going for 15 days. For my program, I would like to raise at least 10 grand. So I'm going to be asking you guys, those of you who have money, go ahead and throw that stuff. Remember, none of that comes to me. It all goes to keep this station alive. I would love for us to be able, for Politics Done Right, to present. Actually, I'd like more than that, but to say this is our contribution to the station, the people who listen and watch Politics Done Right at 6 a.m. Anyway, folks, thank you so kindly, Augie, for all that you do for the station and for all the knowledge you bring. Yes, sir.
Yeah, that's another thing about the fund drive. At the same time, I'm having the fund drive. I'm getting politicians requesting me to give them money. And so I'm divided now. Who do I give money to? All these politicians that are requesting money.
Here's what I tell people. I tell people both. I say split. Look, remember, when you're given to a radio station like KPFT, you're expanding the voices of all the politicians you want, not just one. But when you give to a specific politician, which is necessary as well, you're helping that one politician. So I say both. We need to be able to be the voice, the knowledge, the place that you can come for a knowledge base. But at the same, so, I mean, we need to be funded, but politicians need a few bucks as well. But thank you, Augie, for all that you do, my brother. All right, let's go to Mike. Come on in, Mike.
Yeah, hey, Egberto. You had mentioned at the close of your, you know, when you rebroadcast that interview with the candidate for Whitmire's old seat.
Yes.
That it's time for independent, you know, non-party syndicate, true community type advocates to be able to come forward and win office. And so my question is, you know, what are you thinking about the Kennedy-Shanahan ticket?
I can answer that. Two things. First of all, for me, I'm speaking for me now. For me, Kennedy's stance on both abortion and vaccines is disqualifying for me, and I think it should be disqualifying for the nation. But that's my opinion. You may have a different opinion, but that's my opinion. That said, just those two policies eliminate Kennedy from my choice altogether. Now, that said, as a host of a radio station that has a few listeners and from which some people take advice, if somebody asks me if I believe they should vote for Kennedy, I would tell them, if you think, please show me what the path is for Kennedy to get 270 electoral, 270, right? 270 electoral votes. And there is no path because he won't have that in that path at all. And therefore, anybody voting for Kennedy, it is a protest vote because it's a vote that cannot win in the electoral college. So that is just the bottom line as far as from a practical, pragmatic point of view. That said, one of the reasons, and taking my host hat off, I am a Biden voter, not necessarily I don't like the guy, but when I look at the policies that he was able to get through that progressives pushed him to pass, I have to say if we get a president that will allow some more, that will get more of these policies through that help, not only me and you, but most of Americans, that's what I'm for. I'm not. Remember what I said for all those people that talk about government being the problem and what we need to start talking about is government being the solution. That's what I'm all about. Continue, my friend, Mike.
Well, and so you said vaccines and what was the other issue you were concerned about?
Abortion.
Kennedy?
Abortion.
Abortion. Yeah.
In other words, a woman's control of her body.
Yeah. And, you know, I'm not so sure if you really know Kennedy's stance on both of those issues.
I read his
stance. Others have framed them and what he has said. So I'll just say that on those two issues. But there's certainly much more than that, you know, in a presidential campaign.
True. Very true. So very true.
Biden did. Hold on. Oh, thank you. Thank you. Okay. So Biden did not advance the progressive program and agenda. He dropped the progressive program and agenda to get the infrastructure and the CHIPS bill passed, just based on, you know, his negotiations with Republicans in the House. And true. So I think there's that. Biden is a corporate Democrat.
True.
Kennedy Shanahan are talking about real issues, you know, in terms of people's health, the quality of our foods, the quality of the environment, how we go to war, how we make those kinds of decisions. So I would just say, and then two, given that we're in Texas, where Republicans dominate, and more likely than not, the electoral votes, college votes from Texas will go to Trump, just given what the voting patterns are in Texas. And the fact that the Democratic Party has been a failure in Texas, has never been able to get beyond 36% of the voting eligibility, you know, statewide for more than 20 years. And the same old stalwarts are in place in the Democratic Party in Texas. So, you know, your comment at the end of that interview and the fact that you highlighted that she was an outsider within the Democratic Party just tells me that you ought to be looking more at the Kennedy campaign. And yeah, and maybe there should be a lightning rod thrown into the selection. So I will just say that there is an event on criminal justice reform this Saturday in Houston, down on Travis Street, and Shanahan is going to be there. She's going to be the keynote speaker. It's you know, you can go to Kennedy24.com to register to attend that event. On the 13th, Kennedy is going to be in Austin.
Can I ask you a question, Mike? Because I don't want to interrupt you, but I'm at 10.
Just let me finish. Just a few more seconds, Egberto.
Okay, go ahead. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Thank you. And so on the 13th, Kennedy will be in Austin. So, you know, a great trip up to Austin, down on Fifth Street. And the 13th is also the deadline to sign petitions to get Kennedy on the ballot in Texas. And so, you know, I'm just saying that the old constructs that you seem to always fall back into, although you espouse progressivism, you seem to always fall back into the old constructs that aren't working and aren't advancing. And then you promote this candidate who shook the bushes, no pun intended, in Whitmire's old district, called Whitmire an old party hack. And yet you're wanting to deny the biggest movement we've had in three or four decades.
Mike, respectfully, give me a chance, but I'm running out of time and I get your point. You can you can draw me an email and knock me out in the email to finish it up, or you can call me and finish me up tomorrow. But let me just ask you one question. I am saying that Kennedy has no path. Do you disagree with that or do you agree with that?
I disagree with that at this point. There's still time to get a Kennedy on the ballot in the 50 states.
All right, I tell you Texas, what, let's do this, Mike. Let's talk tomorrow because I got to go to Brian. I got to go to other callers, Brian. I promised you this. And I think I gave you a lot of time to. Hey, Mike, I did. Didn't I give you all the space to talk, Mike?
To attend the event in Houston and the event in Austin. Thank you very much.
Thank you, my brother. You have a wonderful day. All right, let's go to Brian real quick.
Yeah, good morning.
Good morning, Brian. How you doing, my brother?
Yeah, fine. I cannot believe that you can equate our founding fathers and patriots with Hamas and the Palestinian terrorists.
Wow.
I can't understand this.
Okay,
the United
first of
States
all,
had a declaration of independence. Hamas and the terrorists do not. We had a standing army. Hamas and the terrorists do not.
When's
the last time you heard of a patriot that
Brian, I get you. I read you. I promise you, I read you. First of all, I never equated the founding fathers with Hamas. Okay, I never equated the founding fathers with Hamas. You can't find where I said that. Now, what you will find, and you'll find it's a statement of fact. It's a statement. Wait a minute. It's a statement of fact.
I only have one life to live. You said this. I only have one life to give for my country.
Of you course, said and that's yesterday. What. And that's what he said. Patrick Henry said that.
Yes. And you equated him with Hamas.
Okay. Wait. Stop, Brian. We talk about intellectual. Brian. Please stop. Brian, I always give you a chance to speak. Please stop. All right. Now here's the thing. I don't have enough time to discuss this, but you're misstating and maligning what I've said. Let's stop doing what is always done on the right. There was a premise of what I said. Don't misconstrue the premise, because that's how we get dissension. Brian, we'll talk tomorrow. I promise. I got to get Johnny to say the last word, and then we'll jump to the studio. But we'll talk about this. I have no problem defending the things that I say. Thank you, my brother. Come on in, Johnny.
Quickly, the caller before Brian, that's an example of what I was talking about when we need older folks who are progressive to be out there washing the back of the younger folks running for office. It's because he doesn't see what you and I see with regards to the threat that lies in Kennedy. Kennedy is smart and clever, and he knows how to talk a good talk, and then once he gets into office, he will legislate or govern in the opposite direction, just like the Clintons did, just like Barack did, just like every
exactly.
Democrat.
Johnny, and again, our listeners get it. I'm pretty sure they get it. And I'm even sure Brian get it, but Brian needs to say something else. But we'll talk, Johnny. Thank you for calling again. Hey, Johnny, you got 3 bites today. All right, let's go to the studio. Come on in, studio.
Oh, nothing for me. Pretty active show. I think Jack has a page of wisdom here. Wisdom?
Well, what I got is the corporation blames everything on government so they can get away with what they need to get away with.
Oh, those rats.
Those rats!
All right. You nailed it. Anyway, folks, I want to thank all my listeners, all my callers, every single one, whether we disagree or not. Love you all. We are one country, one people. My name is, don't forget to, there's a lot of other stuff that we had to cover in the show today. We didn't. Go to politicsunright.com/newsletter, politicsunright.com/newsletter. It has all the videos that we didn't cover and articles. My name is Egberto Willis. This is Politics Unright. And you guys know how I end this, baby. I am what? Out. We spend a lot of time deconstructing the news, trying to parse it into a form that everybody can understand. We try to find those little nitpicks where it flies above the fray, etc. If you really like these videos that we do, I want to ask a big favor. Please go ahead, 1, subscribe to our channel, and 2, please join if you can. Thank you so kindly for watching. Keep watching. Please remember to share. We must populate the entire internet with our progressive message, a message that we know is what most Americans say that they want. So help us, please join.